says. If you would, turn to Acts, the 26th chapter, the 23rd verse. If ever a time your soul needs to be anchored, it's during the death of someone you love. And even after years have gone past, sometimes you still need that anchor. Amen? Acts 26, the 23rd verse reads, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Turn with me to Mark 12. 12th chapter of the book of Mark. Starting with verse 26. Now, as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. Or as King James says, ye therefore do greatly err. Amen? You may be seated. Dealing with death, what the world says versus what the word says. And the world says that when someone dies, you lose everything. You lose it all. We've been to funerals where we've known that it was a worldly funeral because the world does not understand death. What the world simply realizes is that someone is now gone and gone forever. In other words, you will never have that person to deal with again. The only thing left are the memories that were good or maybe not good. You have to begin to deal with the fact that there were some things that needed closure that you never closed. You have to understand that never again will they enter your doorstep. Never again will the opportunity be for you to pick up a phone and call. So for the world, death is permanent. There's no getting. That's why folks you see fall out on the casket. Can't stand to see the casket closed because they don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for them. And a lot of people from the world put their trust in man. And so depending on how close this person was to you, the mother, the father, a husband, a wife, however much you invested in them, as the world grieves, you have no idea what tomorrow will hold. You have no hope. You have no faith. You have no future. All you know is that what once was yours now is no longer yours. So the world does not know how to handle death. Amen? Would anybody disagree with that? Everything that that person had is now someone else's. Amen? There is nothing that they could take with them. And you can hold, and I've seen a show where it's called, I guess it's Hoarders, and people who lose loved ones, they keep their stuff. And it piles up, and they have the memories, and I just want to remember, and they don't want to let go old purses and pocketbooks and things that remind them of their family that's gone. And you may see shrines made up. You may see things that will allude to they were once here, but the actuality is that once a person leaves this earth, it's like a cloud passing in the wind. The only one that will remember them are the ones who they were engaged in their lives. People who don't know you, never knew you, could care less about your family. Remember, and we've been there. How many know folks who have called us up and said, yeah, they lost so-and-so, and it done nothing for you? Because you didn't know them. You weren't engaged with them. You have no, it does not impact you whatsoever. But when it's someone that you know, and it impacts you, the question is now, how do we process? Amen? The world says that all hope and despair is yours. In other words, if you want to take your life because they're gone, it's okay. We have folks who commit suicide at the passing of someone they love. How do you tell a mother who just lost their child to go on? I have no earthly idea how to begin to deal with a situation like that. Because my perspective will be from the spiritual side. But even from the spiritual side, how do you tell a mother who just lost her baby it's going to be all right? Especially if you've never been there. I had a friend of mine who lost her son. And it was sad because you look at that child and you see all the promise that a child has. As a parent, you will never see them achieve those promises because their lives have been snatched away. And now you are forced to go on without them. I don't know how I would react, and I don't know how I would respond because I still have my three. But I do know that if something should happen, I'm going to have to deal with the one who had the power to keep them or take them. And so I have to begin to focus my understanding of death. And the Bible says that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. In other words, I have to look at this text and say there's more to death than meets the eye. If not, why would Christ come and die? If not, why would he get up from the grave to be the first? And that statement right there tells me something. If it says he's the first, that means that there has to be what? Another. All right, so when I look into the scriptures and I see, well, if it was just death and that was it, why would they put that he should be the first that should rise? See, I gotta begin to internalize this thing because externally the world wants to blow me out the frame. The world wants to say you need to cry until you can't cry no more and then cry some more on top of that cry. Because you have lost everything that meant something to you. So therefore now you should be no earthly good. You can't get up and live your life because you're so lost in the fact that you lost someone. That's what the world wants you to cave. Satan wants you to follow suit. He wants you to go crazy. He wants you to realize, I can't do nothing without them. I can't live without them. I can't breathe. I can't. And not to say that the initial response should not be one of pain. But the world will take it to the extreme because they have no other answer. And if we, the church, or I should say Christians, don't give them something to hold on to, then we are not doing our part and we have just compounded the death of someone who was lost. This is time for us to stand up to be able to say that I know you don't understand everything that's going on, but if you would just allow me some moment of your time, let me take you to the scriptures to show you what it is that helps comfort me in my times of need and despair. Acts 26:23 says that he should be the first that should rise. So therefore, I know you don't understand, but there is something more beyond death. The problem becomes when you reach them after the fact, then it affects you. Because as Christians, we have an obligation to present it before it gets there. Don't we find ourselves wishing we had said something? Wishing we had done something? Knowing the agony that's going to be there, and we have the answer, but we say nothing? Because we don't want to overstep our bounds? But is that our responsibility? Our job is to go out and spread what? The good news? The gospel of Jesus Christ? How should we deal with death? We have to understand that a moment of loss is a moment of promise. When do you think about your own mortality? When someone what? Dies. Before that, we carefree. We're doing our thing. Our family is fine. Everybody's intact. Let somebody pass, and all of a sudden we question our own mortality. How long do I have? What do I need to do? How do I get myself right? Or am I living right? And so for a short moment in time, it may jar us to do some things that we normally would not do. But as time goes past and we realize that we're still here, that thought of mortality seems to disappear here again. And we go back to doing what we normally would do. Until what? Another death. But it's a danger when they come so close back to back, and then you're trying to figure out why you're still here and they gone. Now you're trying to understand death on two sides. The side that's gone and the side that's still here. Because what is it that keeps you here and takes someone else? Now, I said, I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and some folks applauded and some stood up. But until you understand that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith, and the fact that you are still here this morning when other folks are gone would promote you or push you to make sure that whenever I hear his name, if I don't stand up and shout, if I don't bow before him, then I don't know truly who he is. See, this is a personal understanding of your relationship with God. Let me ask you this. If somebody said, I want you to welcome Mr. Denzel Washington to the house. Nobody would need to tell you to get up and stand up. You would start standing up and start clapping. Woo-hoo! I love you, Denzel! You're the man! Am I lying? Y'all go to a concert, they introduce y'all favorite artist, and bam! All praise is due to the artist that's about to hit the stage. Artists don't know you. Artists don't love you. Artists don't care about you. He don't greet you on your birthday. He's not going to be at your funeral. He's not going to be at your mama's funeral. He's not going to put no food on your table. He's not going to put no clothes on your back. He's not going to send your children a good education. He's not going to pray for you when you need prayer. He don't know a thing about you. But we give him all praise. Don't that sound kind of twisted? So we don't understand. So therefore, how can they understand death if you can't understand life? Who brings value to your household? Who brings value to your situation? Let's read a little bit more. Now, as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses and the passage about the bush how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, I'm curious about that statement because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all dead. Right? Moses came after them. So why would he be talking about that he the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, if they gone? If they dead. They have no more value, right? That's what the world says. Death is death. Why consider them at all? But it goes on to say, he is not the God of the what? Dead, but of the living. Then it says, you are badly mistaken. Okay. So we know what the world says. There's despair. There's trouble. There's no tomorrow. You can't make it through this thing. Right? The word says that Christ should be the first that should rise from the dead. It also makes reference in Mark that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, folks who already died. And then the statement finalizes with, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay, so as a child of God now, I'm starting to get some hope. I'm starting to understand that death is not final. I'll take it even one step further. 2 Corinthians 5:6. Well, I'll tell you what, let's back up. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Not lose the body, lose the soul. That's another switch there. Body, soul. Body is physical, soul, spirit. That tells me something else now. All right, there's more to my body than just the physical. There is a soul that's inside of me. Is that right? It's the soul that is who I am. In other words, the body becomes my what? Container. This what keeps my soul, but my soul makes the body go. So in other words, what I'm holding on to most precious is not so much as the body, but it's the soul. And maybe that's why some of us let our bodies go. Because we don't understand the container that holds our soul. Second Corinthians 5, 6 says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Okay, now I'm building on this now, okay? This says that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So while I'm here, I'm not with him. Amen? Because the body can't get to him. The body can't see him. The body is confined to earth in all of his fleshly way. That's why it says ashes to ashes and dust to dust. This body will never leave this planet. Why should it? It was formed from the planet. What came from the planet, watch this, goes back to the planet. What came from God goes to God. Huh? It didn't say that he created a soul. It said he created man and woman in his own image. He created them from what? The dust of the earth. So therefore, if I'm dealing with death, I got to begin to understand, and this is the good news for the saints of God. I'm not saying it's good for the world, but for the saints of God, you got to understand that if you lost a loved one who is saved in Christ, that ain't no reason to cry. You may have the emotion of losing a loved one, but when you begin to put one and one together, you better know that to be absent from the body In other words, when you look at the fact that someone that you love who is born again and knows Christ is in the midst of pain and some God-awful suffering, our prayer life should really begin to change. See, we pray for someone's prolonged agony so that we might benefit from their presence to make our bodies feel better. Not our spirit, because the spirit identifies with God and knows. So when someone is on their deathbed and they are struggling and in a lot of pain, but know who God is, why do we pray the selfish prayer of God, get them up? I tell you why. We don't want to suffer by ourselves. Now, how selfish is that? We'd rather you be in pain, bent over pain. See, we ain't in the pain. We just want to see you. We want to know you're here. But when you understand the context of this, as long as I'm in the body, I'm absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So they say we are willing to be absent from the body that I might be with the Lord. In other words, if the point comes to my life when I'm in that kind of situation, do me a favor. Don't resuscitate me. Don't hook me up to nothing special. Let me go. Because if it's my time, then I'm going to be with who? The Lord. So now, I don't want you to cry so that you cry like you'll never see me again. See, that's where I got to go. See, when you begin to understand how God has put us together, and you can begin to understand that if Christ was the first to rise, that means that in my life, I realize that death for me is only temporary. Yes, sir. But if I take it to the next level, what you will see is that I myself will never die.
All right.
Children of God, we don't die. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So if the body contains my soul, and the body must go back to where it came from, where does my soul go? And if the soul is who I am, not the container, then that means under God, I'm never dead. My body, that physical, sees death. But I never see it. Oh, that's good news right there. So when my loved one who has just passed, who knew Christ in the pardoning of their sins as Savior, has not died. If he has not died, then I can rejoice. Because he is no longer bound to this earthly dwelling place, but he now resides with God the Father. That's just good news. I'm not saying that you ain't gonna miss them, and you should, because they are your loved ones, but you need to rejoice in the fact that just because they ain't here with you don't mean they dead. As a matter of fact, if they could pray for you, they pray that you get up there. Because ultimately, this body for us, we are walking dead. This is an incubation period. We don't see life until we pass from this flesh. The world says we should have despair. The world says you should rejoice. You got to know that even though you will no longer see your loved one, there is a time coming when you will see them again. If they knew Jesus. Here's the trouble part. If they don't know Jesus, you will see them again. In other words, God controls both the death and the life. In other words, when that time comes, you will see your loved ones again, those who are with Christ and those who are not. And the only thing that I don't want to be held against me is that I didn't say something. I didn't want to affect the family. I didn't want to affect the relationship. I would rather affect the family and the relationship so that on that day when I see them, they can't say, well, Ryan didn't tell me about you. Because you can't fix every situation. And there are going to be folks who die who you know who did not accept the Lord. That's a time to be sad. But it ain't time to stop living. You got to keep moving forward. So you got to do all that you can do while the time is available for you to do it so that when it comes, you can at least feel comfort in yourself knowing that I tried to talk to them. I tried to tell them how much they needed Jesus. And if this sermon will help you out, it should put you in a perspective to let them know, hey, look, death ain't it. Here are the scriptures that will back up my point that death is only temporary, but ultimately to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you know him, you can elevate past this life. That's good news. Don't let the world dictate how you deal with folks. Don't let the world dictate how you grieve. Don't let the world tell you what you should be doing when the word says that in times like these we rejoice because we realize that our loved one is no longer here, don't have to deal with the mess, the pain, the crime, the whatever, the economic crisis, you name it, they ain't got to deal with it no more. We the ones still in trouble. But while we're here, we got to deal with it, but as Christians. So we still don't get caught up in all that mess because we know that tomorrow belongs to us. How many folks can say, I don't care what happens today, tomorrow is still mine? All right. See, when you know Christ, you can say that. If I die today, tomorrow's mine. All right. No matter what happens to me today, tomorrow is still mine. I can walk into tomorrow today because I know it's there because God holds what? The future. And he says that my future, my forecast looks pretty good. Can't no astrologer tell me that? Can't nobody read my palms and all this stuff? I know that my future is good because the Bible says that Christ had to die, but he was the first to rise. Because it says on that day, he gonna come like a thief in the night. Those who are dead in Christ. In other words, he's going to resurrect them, but ain't that body. Remember what I told you. That body will never come back. The body you get from the grave is a new glorified body. Resurrected as God calls it up. In other words, your soul reconnects with your new body. And so now this body ain't like the old body. And then those who are alive, now here's the great part about that. Those who are alive, your body will be split. In other words, transformed till the old flesh passed away and the new body comes into view. So while you're going from here to glory, you just changing all the way. Huh? Because one minute you was walking on gravity, right? And the next minute you started going higher and higher. Because gravity can't hold what belongs to God. Look, I know we've dealt with some deaths. But from what I talked to Brother DK and Brother Hooper and those who lost them, they said that their loved members were saved, glorified by Christ. That's good news. And now you understand even more how good news it is. And not only are they not in that casket when you go there on Tuesday, when you go there on Thursday, while you see the frame of what's left behind of what God had allowed them to contain, the fact of the matter is they already celebrating and worshiping with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So when we go, we can shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I'm going to tell you something else, and then I'm done. We get caught up in caskets and money. But let me tell you something. Whether they laid to rest in their full body or whether they cremated, God has the power to put a new body together. So you don't have to worry about, I don't have the funds, so what? Do what it takes to make sure you lay your loved one to rest and don't get caught up in the fact that they gone. Because back in the day, they burned everybody. Yeah. See, folks get hooked up to this whole religious thing where you gotta be in one complete tack body or God won't raise you up from the dead. Please, somebody tell me what's going to happen to all those folks who died in plane crashes? Those folks who died on 9/11 when their bodies just blew up? Somebody please tell me what happens to them. They ain't got nobody laying in no ground. But God is big enough. So while we spending all this money to make sure they look pretty, that ain't what God called for. God, Jesus himself only had a borrowed tomb. He didn't have a coffin. They wrapped him in some death swaddling clothes. And when he didn't need them no more, took them off of him. Folded them up and put them back somewhere else. So don't get caught up in this whole thing what the world says. They got to be in Stacey Adams and all this other kind of stuff. Bury me in my house robe if that's all I got. And if that ain't enough, I ain't got no clothes, burn me up. I don't care. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Doors of the church are open this morning.